A second announcement of the Lord's Passion in the Gospel of Mark. Last week we heard the first time that Jesus announced to his disciples, to those closest to him, that he would have to be handed over, suffer, and die before rising again. And we remember that last week Peter tried to talk him out of it, which resulted in Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan. Get back in your proper place and follow me as a disciple." We pick up today in the Gospel a little bit further along that journey. We hear that Jesus, still walking along teaching his followers, he comes back to the same theme. Says he will have to be handed over, suffer, and die, and rise again. Jesus, in what seems to be a very vulnerable moment, entrusting a very difficult subject to those closest to him, perhaps looking for a little bit of friendship and support, is met once again with the wrong response on the part of the disciples. This time, rather than trying to talk him out of that path, they're simply silent and fearful because they don't understand. And then immediately, and we recognize ourselves in this tendency of the disciples, immediately after he announces he's going to have to suffer and die, what do? But they begin to talk amongst themselves about who's the greatest. They avoid that difficult subject of what it means to follow Jesus to the end, and they get pulled into this sort of worldliness, discussing who is the greatest amongst them. Jesus has to, of course, bring them back around to the subject at hand and tells them and reminds us that if anyone wants to be great, if anyone wants to be first, he or she must become the last and the servant of all. It's quite a simple message, very difficult to live out. Reminds me of a little sign I saw in the Amish furniture store up at the Pierpont Plaza probably more than a year ago by now. When I first got here, I was having a couple of wooden chairs made by the Amish, and I stopped in to check on the progress, and I saw this nice little sign that said, "Life is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple." This is one of those teachings of Jesus where we think, well, this is simple. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant of others. But we think about the application of this and realize this simple message is not easy. And it takes a constant awareness and vigilance on our part to resist that pull of worldliness that makes us want to turn from the cross and rather discuss how great we are. Now, the church has received this message of Christ and is tasked with continuing to proclaim it and witness to it. We look at the church throughout the centuries and realize sometimes we do a great job at that, and other times not so much. God raises up these great saints that bring us back to the heart of the gospel. And we pray for that, even in our time. But thinking about this message of those who want to be great, making themselves servants of others, we think about the way the church has navigated history, and at a certain point, the church became very much aligned with worldly power structures. Christianity was made legal. Not only legal, but official. Kings and emperors became Christians. And our faith was very much wedded to worldly influence. Now, this can be a very good thing, to have Christian believers in positions of authority. It's very convenient. You can get a lot of things done, do a lot of things for the good, when you have money and power on your side. But we recognize also that being close to worldly authority, well, it brings certain pitfalls and certain risks. And one of them is that constant temptation to allow the way we live our Christianity to be infected by a kind of worldliness, by starting to measure our success according to measures that don't come from the gospel, but rather from that part of us, like that part of the disciples, that wants to think about who's the greatest among us. And so it's important that we receive this message and be challenged by it in our own individual lives, in our understanding of how the church is to be lived out on a larger scale. We have the term upward mobility describes a nice state of being in a culture and an economy where people of lower classes can be upwardly mobile. They don't have to remain where they are, but can grow. In a Christian sense, it's been said that we should focus more on being downwardly mobile. How is our downward mobility in the terms of how we relate with one another? Whoever wants to be first among us, whoever wants to be great, should make himself, herself, a servant of all. The gospel in our own lives, our own Christian lives, will be well served. We receive this message and look at ways, each of us, in our own circumstances, of how do we become spiritually downwardly mobile? How do we look at opportunities to become a servant of others, even small acts? Perhaps especially those ways that are quote-unquote beneath us. May we allow this Word of God to touch us deeply in our hearts and our existence, and through it to renew the church, to be that salt of the earth and the light of the world that we are called to be.